Well, thank you, Scott. Did you read Psalm 55? Did you read Psalm 55? Okay. Well, you just sang the psalm. How about that? You didn't even know it. That's a great song to sing with the message we're going to look at tonight in a minute. If you have your Bibles, you can be headed that way. Psalm 55 this evening. Couple of things real quick. Don't forget. We started last week to share with you for our men during the month of March, the four Tuesday nights, Men of Integrity. And it's going to be a time of fellowship and learning and praying together and study together. The theme for the 4 weeks is going to be walking with God. And we're going to share with you how you can better walk with God. And I hope you'll come be a part of that. This is open for starting with any gentleman from middle school, as old as you are. So I hope you'll come be a part of that. There's going to be a light supper prepared for you. And then we'll study. We'll get out on time each night. But I think it'll be a great time together. I hope you'll come. Bring somebody with you. This will be a great opportunity to bring somebody that might not come on a Sunday morning with you, but maybe they'd be interested in coming to something like that. And then the second thing is just to pray for this Sunday. The message I'm going to share with you Sunday, I have no clue how long I will be here with you folks. You don't know how long I'll be here. Some of you wish I'd left last week, and some of you have been kind and said you've enjoyed my being with you. But anyway, I don't know how long I will be here, but next Sunday, this coming Sunday's message, I think will be the most important message that I will preach to you while I'm here. And you'll find out has to do with vision and faith, believing God to show us what He wants done. You know, a lot of times in our churches, particularly when you're going through a change like you are, we all have our preferences about things. We hope we like the next preacher. We want. I was amazed to read some of the things that people wrote in one church where I was serving. They listed, let the church send in notices about what they wanted in a preacher. And I was dumbfounded by some of the things I read. One person said, I want a preacher who can preach in 20 minutes. Well, I can't get through an introduction in 20 minutes. I don't know where they got that from, but some people want somebody that's older. Somebody wants a young preacher. We all have our preferences, but I got news for you folks. It's not about you. And that's a hard lesson to learn. It's about what God wants. I've heard people say, well, I hope that next pastor comes in and doesn't change things. Well, he better change things. He better change things. Have y'all looked at your numbers, how you've struggled, numbers and growth over the last number of years? I'm just being real with you. There are some things that need to change, and you better find out why they need to change, and then you better change them. And I'm not going to preach on change. Well, kind of, not really Sunday, but we're going to talk about getting God's vision, finding out what He wants, and then pursuing after that. And that's what I'm going to pray. Well, anyway, Psalm 55 tonight is where we are. The last three Wednesday nights that I've taught, we have looked at some very familiar psalms. Three of my favorites, Psalm 19, Psalm 15, last week Psalm 139. Tonight's psalm is not a familiar one, probably. In fact, unless you read it this past week, if I said Psalm 55, you probably couldn't tell me exactly what that psalm is about, but I hope you'll be able to do so after we get through this evening. It speaks to some very important matters of life and living. There seems to be little doubt that King David wrote this psalm when his son Absalom was at the peak of his rebellion. And David was going through a very difficult time, and he writes Psalm 55. This psalm is called a maskil psalm, M-A-S-K-I-L. A maskil psalm was a psalm that was written for instruction. And God used David to pen these words of instruction to speak to all of us in the days that would come, those who would read these words as we're doing tonight. And He is instructing us about what to do with life's burdens. Now, if you don't have any burdens tonight, you can go home. If you've never been through a burden, you can leave. If you don't think you'll ever go through another one, you're welcome to leave. But the truth of the matter is, all of us go through difficult times at time, And we need to hear the words that David wrote here in Psalm 55. Dr. John Phillips, one of my favorite writers and preachers when he was alive, wrote in his comments about this psalm the following: if we have been tempted to give up, to run away from our problems, then this is the psalm for us. Most of us have been where David was in this psalm, hard pressed by circumstances that are partly our own fault, but which have passed beyond our control. The only thing to do is to fling ourselves into the arms of God, as David did at the close of this psalm. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Well, I entitled this message tonight, or this psalm tonight, What to Do with the Burdens of Life. Let's read the entire psalm together. It takes just a moment. It's 23 verses in length, but I think it'd be good to do so. David writes, and he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that if I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness." And then you see off to the side of your Bible a strange word. It appears in many of the Psalms. The word Selah. There's a lot of thought about what that word means. Some think it is a musical pause or musical interlude. It certainly could be that, because many of these Psalms were intended to be sung. Dr. Phillips says it's put there for emphasis. In other words, when you see that word Selah, the psalmist is making a special point, and he wants you to pause and ponder upon it. Give thought, special thought, to what has just been said. Verse 8, "I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walk, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst, oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor does one who hates me, but who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, O man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend, who we have had sweet fellowship together and walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling and in their midst. As for me, I shall call upon God. The Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for there are many who strive with me. God will hear and answer them, even the one who sits enthroned from old," again, Selah, "with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God. He who has put forth his hand against those who were at peace with him, he has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live on half their days, but I will trust in you." Father, thank you for these words tonight. I pray that you'll help us to better understand what David meant as he penned these words, and help it apply it to our hearts and our lives this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 22 is the key verse of this psalm. Again, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And in these 23 verses, David introduces us to the world of burden bearing. And he talks about burdens that he carries as the enemy assaulted him, and how even close friends seem to rise up against him. in the book of Job twice, Job writes, Job 5:7, it says, "For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." Job 14:1, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived," and he says, "full of turmoil." And if you've lived this life very long, we all have our burdens that we carry. We all have our share of trouble. Oftentimes, people might be surprised some of the burdens that we carry. You might be surprised to find out some of the burdens that maybe someone sitting right next to you might be carrying, but we all have them. And it's very important that you learn what to do with the burdens of life, because every one of us will face them at some time or other. I want to approach this psalm tonight by asking and answering three questions. Number one, what kind of burdens do people carry? Number two, what are we not to do with our burdens? And number three, what we are to do with our burdens. Question number one, what kind of burdens do people carry? And though this psalm does not give us a detailed list like I'm about to give you, it does mention some of the burdens that people carry. But I think we all could make a list of certain burdens, and I might not include yours tonight. If I don't, forgive me. You can add it to that list. But these are some of the burdens that people carry through life. Some carry burdens that deal with the home. A case in point biblically would be the prodigal son. Can you imagine how that father felt? He had two prodigals, one that openly rebelled, one that quietly rebelled, and I would suggest that the older son was the bigger prodigal of the two. His house was in turmoil, and it stayed in turmoil even after the young prodigal got right. There are many people who have trouble, conflict in the home, a rebelling child, a sick spouse, a depressed parent, a great financial need. We can make a long list tonight. Burdens that deal with a home. Secondly, some carry burdens of business responsibilities. More this day and age, whether you own a business or you work for a business, it's tough. And it's getting harder all the time, it seems. And those who have the responsibility of business carry deep, deep responsibilities and burdens. Some carry burdens in connection with the Lord's work in the ministry. It's 2 Corinthians 11:28. Paul speaking said, "Apart from such external things," he says, "there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." And you know, unless you've been in leadership in a church, you might not understand that. A lot of times people look at preachers and staff members and such and think, man, they just got a wonderful job. They don't ever have any problems. They don't have any difficulties. You just ought to walk with me for a while. The burdens that we carry, and we carry the burdens of our flock sometimes and other burdens that come our way, but there is a burden that goes along with even ministry. Some carry the burdens of their close friends. In fact, David was carrying such a burden. Verses 12, 13, and 14, he wrote, "But it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it, nor it is one who hates me who's exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in the crowd." Apparently, he had a close friend that turned his back on him, stabbed him in the back. Those wounds hurt much worse than the wounds from an enemy. We have burdens concerning our friends. That's part of the reason Paul wrote what he did to the Galatian church. Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." There are some who carry physical burdens through life. Paul did, certainly, I believe. 2 Corinthians 12:17, he wrote, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." Now, I know he doesn't specify that thorn in the flesh. There's much thought about who or what that was. I personally believe it was physical problems that he had, because he talks about those in other places. And those physical ailments at time kept him from, I'm sure, being able to minister like he wanted to be able to minister. And there are those who carry those type of burdens. I think about people, Richard and I, today we were talking about the possibilities of some other outreach the church might do. And we talked about maybe even the possibilities of doing some kind of Sunday school online where those who can't come, they can watch online. Because there are people who we call homebound, shut-in, that would love to be here. They can't be here for physical reasons. And they bear that burden. If you gave them the opportunity, what gets me is these people who claim to be members of your church that don't come, who could be here, and they find every excuse in the world not to be here. But I've had a good time over the years just being real harsh on those folks. Shame on them. They ought to be here. Number one, you're disobedient to God when you're not. The Bible's clear about that. Don't forsake the assembling together of the saints. But there are some saints who would dearly love to be here, but they can't because of physical burdens that they carry. Some carry temperamental burdens. These make us particularly prone to fear, worry, depression, even despair. And those things hinder them greatly. My mother is still living. She is 93 years old. She's in an assisted living in Oakwood, Georgia, just south of Gainesville. And mom's doing, outside of a banged up knee that she can't hardly get up and down it with anymore, she's doing real well. But my mother was one of these. Do y'all know the phrase worry wart? Y'all have heard that? My mama was one of those worry warts. She worried about everything going south, everything going wrong. She'd worry herself almost sick over matters that were way beyond her control. In fact, it physically affected her. Worry was such a strong issue for her. And the Bible has a lot to say about worry. We'll look at that some maybe later. Some carry the burden of loss and grief. Some carry the burden of disappointment. In other words, life just hasn't turned out quite like they thought it would. And then there is the heaviest burden of all, and that is sin. Job 7, verse 20. Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? Have you ever had to deal with sin in your life to the point that you thought, man, I'm a burden to myself? Well, thank God for forgiveness of sin. Even though when we get saved, Jesus saves us and he forgives us. He casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. But because we still live in this thing called the flesh, till we go home to be with him, we all have to battle this matter of sin. We have to be careful that we walk in such a way that we live righteously, and we trip up. All of us trip up and fall at times. And it seems, whether it be through a besetting sin or a battle with the flesh, that sin is a constant enemy our way. What a burden it is. By the way, one of the good things about heaven, one of these days when we see Jesus and he makes us like he is, we see him face to face and we become as he is, no more sin problem. It will be forever, ever gone. Well, that's what David is writing about, the burdens that all of us carry. Number two question tonight, what are we not to do with our burdens? Well, here in Psalm 55, David tells us several things that we're not to do with our burdens. This is pretty good. Number one, we are not to doubt God. We are not to doubt God, regardless of what your burden is, what you're going through. Do not doubt God. You see this kind of in the reverse as you look at the first verse. It's interesting how David opens this psalm. He finally gets it right when he gets to the end, and given us the command that he does to cast our burdens upon the Lord. But at the very first, you can just feel his doubt and despair. Listen again what he says. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Now, why did he write that? Probably because he didn't feel like God had paid him any attention. Probably because he'd been crying out to God about his problem that he writes about. And it just didn't seem like God was doing anything about it. So he doubted God. And that's one of the worst things you can do as you carry your burdens in life. Hey, folks, doubt can easily assault us when burdens come our way, because God seems far away while we're walking through that which is a burden to us. But there is no relief in doubting God. In fact, I've seen over the years, both in my own life and watching other people, that when a person goes through a burden, a difficult time, a troubled time, they will either do one of two things. That will cause one of two things. It will either draw them closer to the Lord, or it will draw them farther away from the Lord. Do not doubt God. Psalm 27, verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. Again, don't doubt him. He's still there. Sometimes he may not seem like he's there. Maybe he's working in the midst of the trials. We talked about this past Sunday. We'll talk about it again in just a minute. But don't doubt his presence. Remember Peter, as he finally got back to the boat after he sank, he took his eyes off of Jesus while he had been walking on the water, and all of a sudden he sank. He cried out to Christ, and Christ picked him up, took him back to the boat. They got in the boat together, and the wind stopped, the storm stopped. And then Jesus looked at his disciples, and he rebuked them. Remember what he said? Matthew 14, 31. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Hey, folks, regardless of what burden you're carrying in that, don't doubt God. He's there. And when it comes time to relieve you, he will take care of you. He will provide. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. We're not to doubt God. Secondly, we're not to complain. Have you noticed when you go through times of burdens, trouble, difficulties, it's real easy to start belly aching, complaining about it? David did, verse 2 and 3. Give heed to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I'm surely distracted, or the word could be translated disturbed there, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me in anger. They bear a grudge against me. I mean, David confesses it. Lord, I've complained about it. Why don't you do something? Have you noticed how complaining always makes matters worse? And it does. Because when you start focusing on the problem and start complaining about it, it makes you take your eyes off God, who is the only solution. Complaining will not help. In fact, complaining will only make things look more difficult. We're not to complain. Thirdly, we are not to despair. We are not to despair. Verses 4 and 5, he says, my heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. Well, you talk about a man who is despairing. When burdens come, they can easily overwhelm us to the point of despair. When they get heavy, it's easy to want to give up in despair. But let me tell you, relief from your burdens will never be found in giving up and in despairing. You got to remember, we serve a victorious God who works in our lives to give us victory over every circumstance. We are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loves us, even when we have to go through the difficult times of life. We're not to despair. And here's the fourth thing we're not to do. We should not run from our burdens either. We should not run from our burdens. Every one of us, I'm sure, at times have wanted to run from our problems and run from our burdens. King David was no different. Listen to what he says in verse 6 and 7. Folks, he's just being honest here. He's just pouring out his soul. Behold, after talking about his trouble, behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest. In other words, going through my troubled times, I want to just run away and hide. You ever felt that way? We all have. One of my favorite preachers, another one, I got a bunch of favorites, but was an evangelist by the name of Junior Hill. Maybe some of you have heard Brother Junior. He was just, well, what a prince of a preacher he was. And he loved preachers. He loved ministering to preachers. But he told a joke one time. I think it was a joke. It might have been a true story. I don't know. But he talked about one time in one of the churches that he served before he went to full-time evangelism, that he had a woman in his church that just gave him fits. She griped and complained about everything he did. And when she'd sit out there on Sunday mornings when he was preaching, he'd be preaching his heart out, and she'd just sit there with her arms crossed, had the meanest scowl on her face, and just looked angry the entire time he was preaching. And he said, preachers, I shouldn't let her bother me, but isn't it funny how you can have 300 people who are paying attention, and the only person you pay attention to is that one that's not paying attention. And he said, I just prayed that God would deliver me from that church because I wanted to get away from that woman. And sure enough, he said, I got a call from a pulpit committee. I was excited to talk to them. Lo and behold, a few weeks later, I accepted the call. I went to preach, and the first sermon I preached, I looked out of that congregation as I preached, and that woman had a twin sister sitting out in the congregation. I don't think that was true. But you know what? That's the way it is. A lot of times, Junior was wanting to run away from his problems. You can't run away from problems. Preachers do that sometimes. That's the reason you folks were blessed to have one pastor that was here 27 years. But there are a lot of, that's unusual. There are a lot of churches that turn over every 2 or 3 years. And part of the reason preachers get upset at what happens, they get mad, or people get mad at them instead of dealing with themselves and dealing with the church. You know what they do? They find another church. And they run away from it. You cannot run from your burden. So when our burdens come our way, we're not to doubt God, complain, despair, or run. Question number three, I'll close with this. What are we to do with our burdens? If we're not to doubt God, complain, despair, and run, what are we to do with our burdens and our problems? Well, David also answers that. He does so at the very end. He takes 21 verses, it seems like, to voice his problem, his complaint, and his burden. And now he lands this thing by coming to the right place. He tells us three things that we must do with our burdens if you're going to find release from them. And I think David found release as he wrote these things. Number one, we are to accept the burden from the Lord. Now, let me say that again. We are to accept the burden from the Lord. Now, you heard me right. Accept the burden from the Lord. And with that, you're going to have to listen real carefully, and you're going to have to listen with an ear of faith. Verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. It's interesting to note the word burden that is used here in verse 22 is a very, very interesting word, and you might be surprised at what it means. The word literally means that which is given to you. Or to put it simply, it means gift. It would be very proper to translate verse 22 as follows. Cast what God has given you upon the Lord. Now, you know, we don't think of our burdens as being a gift given to us from God. And I don't think God ever gives us anything that is wicked or evil, because the Bible tells us God does not tempt us with evil. But ladies and gentlemen, because we live in a fallen world, God is a big enough God and a good enough God that he can even take the evil things and use them for our good and his glory. He can use it to teach us, to train us, to equip us, to comfort us. All these things that sometimes we don't see while we're going through the difficult times. But that's why you have to accept that God, for whatever reason, you might not understand the reason, he has at least allowed that to come into your life. And if he's allowed it to come into your life, there is a divine providential reason for it. I love Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. What powerful verses. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to God, to the will of God. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. These whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. These whom he justified, he also glorified. Psalm 119, verse 67 and 71, David writes, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." And he says these words, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 down through verse 10, of his weakness and how God allowed that weakness in his life to bring him to the point of absolute abandonment to Jesus. And folks, many times when we're walking through a burden of life, if we can learn to accept it from the Lord and accept the fact that he's going to use it to teach us something, to grow us, to change us, maybe to even deal with something wrong in our lives, it changes the way you look at that burden that comes your way. Accept the burden from the Lord. Second thing you're to do is cast your burden upon the Lord. Verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord. The word cast used here literally means to fling or to hurl. And as it's used, it requires and denotes action and effort on our part. Peter had the same thing in mind when he wrote 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at proper time, casting your anxiety, your cares, your problems on him, because he cares for you." Accept the burden from the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord. And here's the important thing. Leave your burden with the Lord. Leave it with him. Once you've cast it upon God, he assumes full responsibility for it. Once we have cast our burdens upon the Lord, he promises to sustain us. Last part of verse 22, he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. What a promise that is for those of us who have to bear through burdens in life. Accept from, cast upon, leave with. For he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Father, thank you for your word and the great promise that you give to us here, as King David wrote it, even in the midst of his trouble. Lord, how he learned to accept it from you, to cast it upon you, and then leave it with you. Lord, help us to do that as we face the burdens that we all face in this life. Thank you that you're a God who loves us enough that even in the midst of our trials and trouble, you will redeem those things and you will use them for our good and for your glory. We give you praise and we give you thanksgiving, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. The next psalm that I will do, I don't think I will be here next week because I think I've got to go do a funeral next week down in South Georgia, but I will be doing Psalm 37 next, and it's going to take me at least two studies to do it. Okay? All right. God bless you.